Hello, everyone. I'm writing this for therapeutic reasons, but also as a warning to my fellow hunters and outdoor enthusiasts. My name is Aaron, and I live in rural Virginia. Although this experience has made me question my love for hunting and the outdoors in general, I'm still a country boy by heart, and I'll always love the outdoors and nature. I'm a hay and cattle farmer by trade, and I enjoy hunting and fishing whenever I get free time, which isn't very often, so it makes it all the more special. Around 3 years ago, one of my good friends that helped me on my farm put in a good word for me at our local hunting club, and I was voted in. I had been going hunting with him for a few years as a guest, but was really excited to be able to hunt club land whenever I wanted. Our hunting club has two properties that we lease from year to year. The first property is local and close to home. It's around 200 acres and is loaded with deer, bear, and all kinds of wildlife. The other is about a 45-minute drive over a mountain dubbed Sperryville Mountain by locals and is only about 60 acres. The property is nicknamed the Orchard by our club due to the fact that it was a thriving apple orchard up until the early 1970s. Unfortunately, now the property reminds you of a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Long gone are the beautiful and lush apple trees and scenic views, replaced by dead trees and foliage. Nasty-looking vines with long, sharp thorns cover each and every haunting tree. The only beauty left in our little 60-acre plot is a beautiful freshwater stream that flows out of the national park that our land borders. Sadly, deer, bear, or any wildlife for that matter, is scarce, and sightings are even more rare, mostly due to the fact the sun only shines on the property a few hours a day if it's lucky, causing a lack of food or vegetation to sustain wildlife. It's very easy to hunt here for weeks on end without any animal sighting outside of the random bird or squirrel. You're probably wondering why in the hell anyone would waste their time hunting here. For me, it's simple. While the other members are hunting shoulder to shoulder on our other piece of property, I can drive over to the orchard and have nothing but peace and quiet surrounded by nature. Over the years, our fellow club members have tried to get us to give up the property, saving club funds in search of a better piece of land, but myself and another elderly gentleman named Rob persuade the others to renew our lease each year. Rob is a 70-year-old heavyset man with red cheeks and a snow-white beard. He always reminded me of good old Saint Nick. Rob is one of the original three founders of our club. The club was established in 1978, and the orchard was the first piece of land that our club acquired in 1979. I guess to him, the long-forgotten piece of land is sentimental, and I have to agree. He welcomed me into the club and took me under his wing, so to speak, always nudging me in the side and giving me that comforting wink, saying,
"Boy, don't let the others discourage you. That place is right next to the park. A monster could wander down at any time."
I have to say I agree, because I have been fortunate enough to harvest a buck each of the last 3 years there. Nothing huge, but something tasty for my wife and I to munch on during the off-season. I still hold the orchard close to my heart because of all the good memories I've had with Rob and a few other friends, but after this experience, I refuse to hunt there alone. It was a clear, cool, crisp day in November, with a slight breeze. I had just finished feeding the cattle for the final time that day, and I decided to load up my old 1989 Ford pickup with my ATV backpack and 6mm Remington hunting rifle and make the drive over the mountain. The drive over was uneventful, and I admired the changing autumn leaves and feeling the crisp, cold breeze through my window. I pulled into the property full of hope of harvesting a nice buck and parked in the lots at the bottom of the road, letting the tailgate down and unloading my four-wheeler, allowing it to warm up a few minutes before making the 20-minute drive to the tree stand. Sticks and rocks crawled under the weight of my ATV as I slowly drove up the rough old mountain road, passing the run-down abandoned apple packing shed as I drove by. I had a good feeling in my guts that today may be the day I land that trophy buck and finally shut up the other club members for good. Arriving at the stand, I shut the engine off and looked around, listening to the soft breeze stirring up leaves around me. taking off with my rifle on my shoulder and my backpack in hand, I began trying to tiptoe to the stand, trying my best to minimize the noise of my walking, but the dry autumn leaves that had made their trip to the ground had other plans. Making my way slowly up the rusting rungs of the ladder, or Rob's old tree stand, I sat down and couldn't help but think about the massive 12-point buck Rob had shot out of this very stand 20 years earlier. His words replayed in my mind over and over like a broken record.
A monster could walk down at any time.
As I would come to find out, that statement was more true than I could have ever imagined. Hours went by, with nothing stirring but the occasional wind gust or noisy squirrel trying to stock up for the winter. I was staying vigilant, checking for movement or noise in any direction to no avail. The cold autumn air nipping at my face and the deep sinking feeling in my stomach of another unsuccessful hunt was eating away at me. Checking my phone, the time was 4:55 p.m. About another 20 minutes, I said to myself. I always liked getting down to my truck before it got pitch black, because I had a 20-minute ride back, and there was zero cell service in case an emergency arose. Directly to the west of the old tree stand was a steep cliffside covered in huge rocks and boulders. I scanned each and every rock for movement, reaching down into my backpack and removing my lukewarm Mountain Dew. I took a sip before putting it back. I began looking back up towards the rocks, and that's when I saw it. Horns. My heart began racing as I began sweating through my winter clothes. This is it, I told myself. All this hard work is about to finally pay off. Raising my rifle and looking through the scope, the deer appeared to be an 11 or 12-point buck. The animal made its way down slowly and carefully through the rocks until it was maybe 150 yards away. Although all I could see was antlers, I knew in my heart this was the moment I've been waiting for since I was a kid. All my excitement began melting away as I stood up. What I saw was truly a monster, and not the kind I wanted to see. What I was looking at was something that was 7 to 8 feet tall, skeletal build with long arms and a strip of brown fur running down the length of its back. But the most terrifying part was its head. It looked to be a deer skull with no hide. Time stood still as I watched this thing through my scope. It began shuffling around and struggling with something, like a soccer mom fumbling with bags of groceries as she tried to remove them from her overpacked minivan. I always believed in Bigfoot, but this thing made Bigfoot look like a puppy. It was the most hideous thing I had ever laid eyes on. I finally saw what it was fumbling with. In its right hand was a squirrel, limp and lifeless. The monster began squeezing the poor creature as its eyes were pushed out of its sockets from the pressure. Like some kind of fucked-up butcher in a deli, the monster laid the squirrel on a rock and with its massive claws began carving the poor animal up. Blood and organs spilled out of the animal. And to my horror, the creature stuck out a long, snake-like forked tongue and began devouring the squirrel. Lowering the gun, I was snapped back into my senses. Don't let this thing see you, is all I could think about. I internally prayed the thing would just turn and walk back into the park and be nothing but a memory. But it didn't. After finishing its meal, it looked around and stuck its tongue in and out like a cobra, as it was smelling. I was quickly reminded of how dire my situation was as I noticed the darkness beginning to swallow up the forest around me. My finger quivered above the trigger as I fought this internal urge to fire at this monster. But a voice deep down inside my gut told me it wouldn't do any good. I lowered the rifle slowly from my eye and looked at my four-wheeler, then back to the creature, and decided I would make a mad dash. With trembling hands, I stood up slowly, grabbed the railing of the stand, and began making my way down the ladder, occasionally looking back and making sure the creature wasn't looking my way. And thank God it wasn't. My confidence was quickly cut off as I stepped off the last rung of the stand, and my size 12 boots crushed some of the bone-dry autumn leaves.
It might as well have been a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant. Whirling around, I realized the creature was looking right at me. We stared at each other across the wooded distance, and even though it was 30 degrees Fahrenheit, I was sweating through my heavy winter clothes. I thought about my wife, my farm, my dog, and my life, and decided I wasn't dying today if I could help it. Before I knew it, I was running towards my ATV, thorns cutting my face and ripping at my clothes as I ran. My gun was bounced uncomfortably against my back as I felt blood trickle down my face from the cuts and praying I wouldn't trip over anything in my sprint. Arriving at my ATV, I groped through my pockets for the keys. Pulling the key from my pocket, I struggled to find the ignition switch, hands shaking like a heavy smoker who hadn't had a light in a week. My spirits lifted as the engine roared to life, but reality kicked in as I turned around and, to my horror, all I saw was massive, polar white deer and bright yellow eyes reflecting off my ATV's taillights. Teeth bared and tongue flicking in and out, it let out the most blood-curdling scream I've ever heard. I gunned the ATV and began tearing down the mountain. Rocks and dips in the road threatened to overturn the four-wheeler, but I knew I couldn't afford to slow my pace. I could hear heavy footsteps and sticks and limbs breaking behind me. The creature was no more than 50 yards behind me. Gunning down the mountain faster and faster, I finally reached the old packing shed I mentioned earlier, which signified I was almost to the bottom. Looking around, I realized the creature was nowhere in sight. There was nothing. My breathing slowed, and I stopped to listen. Nothing was stirring but the dying leaves in the treetops, holding on to dear life, swaying in the wind against the moonlight. I took one last look at the packing shed, and my heart sank to my boots. Peeking out from the side of the building was a deer skull and long, skeletal hands. "Holy fuck," I yelled as I took off again. I turned around as the creature came fully into view from behind the old, broken-down building, and I still to this day don't understand why I did it, but I slammed on the brakes and turned and fired my rifle, hitting the creature square in the upper torso. The creature staggered slightly as dark fluid trickled from its wound, but to my horror, all it did was touch the gaping hole with its massive clawed hand and looked at me, smiling. "To hell with this," I thought, as I hit the gas and barreled down the mountain. My truck's taillights came into view, and I knew salvation was near. Thank God I left my ramps down. I hit the ramps, and my four-wheeler came to a stop in my truck bed with a hard thud. Throwing my ramps into the bed and slamming my truck's tailgate shut, I fumbled for the truck keys and found them very quickly. Throwing my rifle into the passenger seat, I cranked the old beast of a truck over. My heart threatened to beat out of my chest until the truck finally started. Looking back through the mirror, I almost broke into tears, as all I saw walking through the cloud of diesel smoke my truck had emitted like a phantom in a graveyard was the monster. My backpack in its left hand, it cocked its head to the side as it approached my truck, and I swear to God, it smiled. It fucking smiled. Dirty, rotten brown teeth shone in my lights as it stalked closer and closer. I floored the old pickup and didn't slow down until I hit the main road. Tears streamed down my face as I drove the long trip home. I haven't bothered telling anyone this story because no one will believe me. I thought sharing this here was my only hope of getting this out here. Believe it or not, I went back a few times that season, but only in groups of three. I felt awful for not telling my fellow companions about what I saw due to their safety, but I knew they would laugh me off. The day after this happened, I contemplated whether or not this actually happened. Could I have just imagined it? I got my answers that night as I checked my wireless game camera from the comfort of my living room. That night, after I left, at 10:30 p.m., the creature came into view of my trail camera, and it hung my backpack on the bottom rung of the ladder of the tree stand. It turned towards the camera,
and it smiles that god-awful smile again, before smashing the camera to pieces. I now know why animal sightings in the orchard are so rare, and I don't know what I'm going to say when I'm asked if we should renew the lease this year. I can't get this experience out of my head. I want to go back, but I know that monster is still up there, somewhere. All I know is, when I lay in bed at night, all I hear in my head are Rob's words.
A monster could walk down at any time.